Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Donald Trump is not just a wacky politician of the far right, or a riveting television spectacle, or a Twitter phenom and bizarre working class hero. He is not just another candidate to be parsed and analyzed by TV pundits in the same breath as all the others. In terms of our liberal democracy and constitutional order, Donald Trump is an extinction level event. An extinction level event. So stick that one in your pipe and smoke it as you continue to live out the American experiment. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. On the heels of our conversation yesterday and your phone calls and talking about Donald Trump, and who would you vote for today if the election were today? Would it be Hillary? Hopefully not. Would it be Donald? Or would it be none of the above? Or would you write somebody in? So we had a ton of callers yesterday, and that was great. And oftentimes, I decide what I'm going to do on the show. If it's not a guest, if it's not Theology Thursday, if I don't have a book that I've read and I want to talk about, and I'm just looking at the kind of cultural landscape or politics or whatever's going on out in social media, sometimes I totally decide on the fly when God makes me aware of something and I read it. So this morning I was listening to Glenn Beck. I do that occasionally for a number of reasons. Number one, I happen to think Glenn Beck is one of the most dangerous men in America because I think he's an excellent, passive evangelist for Mormonism, Mormonism being a false religions thereby leading you to hell. So, as he's got this massive, giant reach around the country, I feel it necessary for me to pay attention to the guy because he's so effective, he's so influential. But on this one issue, he is so wrong, and that wrongness costs you all eternity. Okay, so that's not cool at all. So all of a sudden, I listen to Beck because I'm paying attention to that. He is entertaining. He's great at radio. He's got a good staff. They have some good stories, and so I'm trying to learn. I'm always trying to glean. Occasionally, he goes down some road where it just sounds totally wacky. Today, he was talking to a guy named Brad Thor, who's a brilliant guy and an author. And Brad Thor talks about this article that he read recently in the New York Magazine. It came out on May 1st of this year, this article. Here's the title, Democracies End When They Are Too Democratic. Now, let me remind you before I go on that I've been teaching Constitution to high school age homeschoolers for the last 4 years. I'm fairly well versed in the Constitution, our form of government versus other forms of government. And what does a democracy actually mean? And we don't have one. We have a representative republic. So that initially sounds like an oxymoron. Democracies end when they are too democratic. What, too democratic? Is there a point where it can be too democratic, where allowing all the people to get involved with the process is somehow wrong? Well, if you don't have a biblical worldview, then you could probably think, no, there would never be a point when having too many people involved in the process would be wrong. But you would be wrong. Because you have to, if you have a biblical worldview like I do, you have to acknowledge the fact that people are really messed up. We're depraved. We're sinful. We see through the glass dimly, saved and unsaved. And so people have this incredible potential to be scumbags. I actually talk about that almost every week when I teach the Constitution. And so you go, okay, is there a point when people have too much freedom? Yes. Is there a point when you can't trust the crowd? Yes. And is that happening in America? Well, enter Donald Trump. So the rest of the title of the article, and right now America is a breeding ground for tyranny. And I know that sounds ridiculous, and as I'm listening to Glenn Beck and Brad Thor and all those guys piling on in the essence of this article, which is quite disturbing, my initial reaction as a skeptic and as a Christian is, hey dude, lighten up. You know, God still is in control, right? Which is true, but we live in the here and the now. And you can't just have an abandonment theology and go, well, I read the end of the book, and in the end we win, so in the meantime, I'm not going to worry about it. Okay, you need to worry about it because you're commanded to love your neighbor as yourself. So you can't abandon the field just because you know how the end of the book goes. That would be unloving, therefore a sin. So I listened more, and then when I got home after that, I had some meetings this morning, and I got home and I printed it out. And I originally go to print it out, and I'm like, 21 pages. Like, no. Now we're a homeschool family, so we usually have a lot of paper around. We didn't today. We usually have a lot of ink around. We didn't today. And 21 pages printed was not too exciting to me, but given the nature of what this article addresses, I'm like, okay, I'm going to print it out. And then I sat down and I read it. And with every page, I got more disturbed. And I'm not an easily disturbed person. I have a solid biblical worldview. I have a solid faith. I have lots of it. But we, like I said, we live in the here and the now. So I'm going to take you through this article. We're going to spend most of the show today. And then instead of choosing to find a way to end the show on a high note, I'm going to end the show on another low note. And our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital is going to be back on. He talked to me the other day. He said, Steve, did you see this article in Bloomberg last Friday? I'm like, no, shut off the noise. I'm tired of hearing all this. It just gets depressing, doesn't it? Can't I just go watch a chick flick and drink a Coke and eat some Twizzlers? I mean, give me a break. So he says, hey, there's a guy, the father of the 401k movement, who's now thinking that the 401k movement has gone so poorly that the government should start to get into the 401k business. Yeah, that's not good news, David. He goes, I need to share this. I need to talk to the audience. Okay, so that's what we're going to do in the last segment of the show today. So let me open with some parts from this article, and I'm going to take you through this because this is very important to consider. And this is not Bash Donald Trump Day. This is Serious Sober-Mindedness Day, which I hope is every day on Call to Action. So let me just take you through this, and because we're going to learn a lot about this, about our form of government, about the Constitution, about human depravity, human sin, and the nature of our nation at this point in 2016. So let me open with this and just totally depress you for the rest of the show. Tyranny is probably established out of no other regime than democracy. Who said that? Plato. Plato said tyranny is probably established out of no other regime than democracy. What did Plato mean by that? Democracy for him, I discovered the author, whose name is Andrew Sullivan, the New York Magazine. Plato argued, listen to this, and the longer a democracy lasts, the more possible this becomes. Plato argued the more democratic it would become, its famous freedoms would multiply, right? We like that. We want more freedom. Its equality spread. Huh. Equality. Well, that starts to sound like, I don't know, gay marriage, gender neutral bathrooms. That starts to sound kind of present and normal. Deference to any sort of authority would wither. We don't like authority. Think Tea Party. Tolerance of any kind of inequality would come under intense threat. Did you hear that? Tolerance of any kind of inequality would come under intense threat. So you Christians that don't believe two men should be married, that's you. And multiculturalism and sexual freedom would create a city or a country like a many-colored cloak decorated in all hues. That's Plato. So we're going back a couple thousand years there, and democracy being the perfect stage for a tyranny. And then you think Donald Trump and the way he operates, this is going to get more disturbing before it gets better. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. I'm talking to you about it because it's the truth. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about, well, possibly the end of the American democracy, which sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It sounds, no, come on. Come on. Let's not be crazy here. Don't start sounding like Glenn Beck, Steve. I'm not trying to sound like Glenn Beck. That is not my goal. But I read this article earlier today. Democracies end when they are too democratic. And right now, America is a breeding ground for tyranny. Now, if you look this up, it's New York Magazine, Uber Liberal, written by Andrew Sullivan, Uber Liberal. And you could start to write it all off just based on that, right? But that's where we have to take our preconceived notions and be smart enough and wise enough. No, I'm going to actually read this. Because he was made in the image of God, whether he agrees with that or not is irrelevant. So he's got some creativity. He's got some intelligence. That's all God given. And so you go, all right, I'm going to see if I can read through this and pull something out. Are there some diamonds in the rough, so to speak? And in this article, there are a lot of them, and I'm sharing it with you and sharing this topic with you today, just as a means of thinking and hopefully praying as well about the election and where our country is going. And yes, I know if you're a follower of Jesus Christ like me, you know, we're out of here, right? You're out of here. You die. Jesus comes back. You're out of here. It's all good. You nothing but everything down the wind column, right? But we still live in the here and the now. And we're here today, and there's real consequences to all of this. So that's why I'm talking about it and hopefully drawing some conclusions that will help us all be more serious about our prayer life and about our voting and our interaction with the government system here in the United States of America. So we're going to talk about this some more. I just wanted to mention briefly, you talk about tyranny One place where there's been tyranny for years, obviously Cuba. We keep talking about our friends at Trans World Radio, who are in the process of raising money to build the, they already have the station. It's on a cool little island in the Caribbean called Bonaire. But it can't reach, the station can't reach Cuba because the signal's not strong enough. So they're raising money right now, Trans World Radio, which has done incredible work around the globe for years, to upgrade the station, which will make it the biggest radio signature in the Western Hemisphere. And then it will completely saturate all of Cuba with the gospel and Christian thinking and Christian teaching. Now, you want to change the direction of a country and you want to avoid tyranny, you need more people that are born again, who follow the Lord and the truth. And that would change an entire culture. And that's why we talk about Trans World Radio and what's going on in Cuba. So go to truthnetwork.com. That's the website, truthnetwork.com. You'll see the big banner there, and you can be a part of what God's doing there. It's really an awesome initiative. We appreciate them supporting us, and we're supporting them. So back to this article, talking about a democracy like ours and how it can fall apart. Now listen to this. This should start to sound eerily familiar to you. This rainbow flag polity, Plato argues, is, for many people, the fairest of regimes. The freedom in that democracy has to be explained to be believed, with shame and privilege in particular emerging over time as anathema. Let me read that to you again. Shame and privilege emerging over time as anathema. What is anathema? Completely rejected. That's what anathema is. So shame, got to get rid of that. Privilege, fat cats. Republican insiders, Democrat insiders, Hillary, Bill, Jeb Bush, all that. Anathema. Out. Get it out. Okay, that's where we're going here. But it is inherently unstable. As the authority of elites fades, as establishment values cede to popular ones, views and identities can become so magnificently diverse as to be mutually uncomprehending. And when all the barriers to equality, formal and informal, have been removed, when everyone is equal, when elites are despised and full license is established to do whatever one wants, you arrive at what might be called late-stage democracy. There is no kowtowing to authority here, let alone to political experience or expertise. And it is when a democracy has ripened as fully as this, Plato argues that a would-be tyrant will often seize his moment. Enter somebody like Donald Trump. Not necessarily Donald Trump, although I think he's shown his cards enough. Here's another article I read earlier. Pinochet, Chavez, and Trump. After decades of suffering under populist autocrats, Latin Americans have a message for the gringos. Welcome to our world. What's the article about? Donald Trump, a big mouth, bully tyrant who puts his enemies and adversaries down, who doesn't really know much about the issues, but he's a populist and he's emotional and he's ranting and raving and touching all your nerves, and you cede power to him easily enough. That's where Plato was going with this whole thing. So this writer, he's talking about a party he was at in Washington, okay? And so as I chit-chatted over cocktails at a Washington office Christmas party in December and saw looming above our heads the pulsating, angry, televised face of Donald Trump on Fox News, I couldn't help but feel a little nausea permeate my stomach. Plato had planted a gnawing worry in my mind a few decades ago about the intrinsic danger of late democratic life. It was increasingly hard not to see in Plato's vision a murky reflection of our own hyper-democratic times, and in Trump, a demagogic, tyrannical character plucked directly out of one of the first books about politics ever written. See, then this just goes on and on, talking about where are we at in America today, and how do you explain somebody like Donald Trump? So there's this massive pushback. Who are the two outsiders that, if America had her way right now, if Democrats, because the side is fixed, the Democrat side is totally fixed because of superdelegates, right? So Bernie Sanders is doing well. He's way outside the system as an avowed socialist, right? He wants to trash everything. Everything else is free, yada, yada, yada. On one side, Donald Trump on the other, who's leveling everybody in the system, and regular democracy has no answer for him. That's why he's dispensed with all the political insiders. And you have crowds of people, just like yesterday, it got violent once again in New Mexico at a Trump rally. And then when anybody rises up against them, they're bullies, they're thugs, they're scumbags, they need to get out. And the crowd roars its thunderous approval. And why is that? How did we get there? We're not thinking, people. You've got the thinnest, intellectually speaking and policy-wise, the thinnest presidential candidate we've seen probably ever. And that would explain, by the way, not to slam Sarah Palin without due reason, but that would explain Sarah Palin's appeal. She just came in. She's a populist. She says it like it is. She takes no prisoners. Everybody that's against her is an enemy. And we're all like, yeah, awesome. And what was her qualification? She was the mayor of what? Wasilla, Alaska. There's like more people in your average family in West Virginia than there are in Wasilla, Alaska. And we're like, oh yeah, make her the president. Ben Carson, God bless him, gives one good speech, slams the president over Obamacare, and we say, make him the president. What's up with that? Why will we so easily cede control, like the power of the White House, to one person with one speech who tells you what you want to hear? Why are we like that? I'll tell you why. Ecclesiastes gives you an answer. We were all born. God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. He's also placed a hole in your heart. So you naturally want one person to come in and solve all the problems, because that's exactly the reality that we actually are facing. One person already has come in. He will finish and solve every problem. His name is Jesus Christ. He's not running for any election because he's already been elected. He's the king. He doesn't need your vote. So you start looking at human nature and where we're at as a country, and start going, wow, that's a little scary that somebody like Donald Trump, who we say fights the system, it's like the French Revolution. Anybody but the people in charge, and emotions rule. And that gets very scary. Listen to this. Direct democracy didn't just elect Congress. This is why do we trust the people all the time. And the president anymore. It expanded the notion of who might be qualified for public office. Listen. Once candidates built a career through experience in elected or cabinet positions or as military commanders, they were effectively selected by peer review. That elitist sorting mechanism has slowly imploded. Non-political candidates, on the other hand, have proliferated, from Ross Perot and Jesse Jackson to Steve Forbes and Herman Cain to this year's crop of Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, and of course, Donald J. Trump. This further widening of our democracy, or increased openness to being led by anyone, indeed, our accelerating preference for outsiders, is now almost complete. The barriers to the popular will, especially when it comes to choosing our president, are now almost non-existent. Can you trust the popular will of the American people? Well, only if they're all born-again followers of Jesus Christ. And the fact is, most of them aren't. So, tyranny lurks. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Are you having fun yet? Neither am I. So I'm really happy this Saturday. I take off with my family down to Florida to watch our oldest graduate from college. That's totally awesome. That's Hayden Noble, who used to produce the radio show. He produced the show for 3 years for me, which was awesome. I miss having him around, but God's moved him down the road, and he's moving on with his life, and pretty exciting. So we take off. So next week I've got several guest hosts, but some great shows lined up. And if that disappoints you, thanks. I mean, thanks. That makes me feel loved, I guess, and valued, if that disappoints you. But cut me a little slack. And believe me, I'm very sensitive to not doing the show. I probably should take more time away from it than I do, but I feel this immense responsibility to do my part, what God has called me to do, to continue to be a voice of truth and reason and hopefully love and compassion in the gospel while we talk about all these crazy things. Today is not a great day. It's not a fun day. I'm not talking about anything enjoyable, but I am talking about things that are important and they're going to have a massive impact on us, but even more importantly, our children and our grandchildren. And so talk about it. I will. So I've been reading through this article today, and I put it up on Facebook earlier, facebook.com/C2A Radio. I'll also put it on the homepage at C2AToday.com. The name of the article, Democracies End When They Are Too Democratic, which should catch your attention. And right now, America is a breeding ground for tyranny. And then the author moves Donald Trump into position A for who would be somebody that could take advantage of the current situation in America to become, well, more like a tyrant than perhaps we've ever seen in the White House. So it was thought-provoking to me, somewhat disturbing. And yesterday, on the heels of most of our callers saying, hey, I'm going to hold my nose, vote for Donald Trump, some people enthusiastically, most of them yesterday, most of you said, listen, it's better than Hillary. The question I'm putting on the table today is, how do you know that? How do you know for sure that a Donald Trump presidency will actually be better for America than a Hillary Clinton presidency? And the fact that that question coming out of my mouth makes me sick and makes me, part of me wants to cry, part of me wants to scream, part of me wants to laugh. This is the age of confusion in a country, I would say, that's under judgment, where God, like the old Burger King commercial, if you're old enough, you'll know this. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. And God's doing the same thing to you and to me. You want to have it your way, folks? You don't want to follow me? By the way, this is an old story. You guys want a king, and God told them in the Old Testament, here's what's going to happen when you get a king. And the same thing's happening. You guys want to do it your way? Okay. And God turns us over to our own devices. We as Christians are caught in the middle of it. We're here to be a witness, to love people as they're abusing themselves, abusing one another, and pointing them to the ultimate source of hope and healing, which is Jesus Christ himself. But the rest of the country, he's just saying, have it your way. Common grace starts to go away, and you just reap what you sow. So that's what this article is all about. I'm doing this to make you uncomfortable, hopefully to make you and me more prayerful. Because this is a supernatural problem going on in America. And if we're not praying for those in authority over us, you can hate Trump all you want. But if you don't pray for him, you're setting Nebuchadnezzar loose on the country. Not a great idea. So we need to be very prayerful people now more than ever. So let me just finish reading that. And then we've got David Fisher from Landmark Capital coming on in the fourth segment to talk about the government wanting to take over your 401k. Nothing but good news today here on Call to Action Radio. Sorry. No, I'm not. Despite his immense wealth, now the author's turning this towards Trump, going, okay, does Trump fit this narrative of the country being so debased of any moral center that it's ready for a tyrant? So here we go. Despite his immense wealth and inherited privilege, Trump has always cultivated a common touch. He did not hide his wealth in the late 20th century. He flaunted it in a way that connected with the masses. Something I've been saying for about a year now is there's a little Donald Trump in all of us. Now, you think on that for a little bit. So for the guys, how many of you guys, truth be told, in your darkest moments, you've got the supermodel babe on your arm. You can tell the world to take a flying leap. You can give them the middle finger at the same time. Then you jump on your 757 and your $10 billion checkbook and go to, well, wherever you want. Now, there's a little Donald Trump in all of us, is there not? He lived the rich man's life most working men dreamed of, endless glamour in women, for example, without sacrificing a way of talking about the world that would not be out of place on the construction site he regularly toured. See, that's the quote-unquote genius of Donald Trump. He was a cult of democratic aspiration. His 1987 book, The Art of the Deal, promised its readers a path to instant success. His appearance on The Howard Stern Show cemented his appeal. His friendship with Vince McMahon offered him an early entree into the world of professional wrestling with its fusion of sports and fantasy. He was a macho media superstar. Now, he also mentions in this article this book by a gentleman named Eric Hoffer. This was written all the way back in 1951, something called The True Believer, where the author, Hoffer, sketches out the dynamics of a genuine mass movement. Do you think you're seeing a mass movement in America with respect to Donald Trump's followers? You absolutely are. And while a critical element of the 20th century fascism, this is from this book written before, it's organized street violence, is missing, you can begin to see it in embryonic form. Again, think in terms of the overall direction of our country, where we're going, the point that we're at right now, where we're seriously putting up Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, which 4 years ago was an SNL skit. Today it's the reality, right? The phalanx of bodyguards around Trump grows daily. Plainclothes bouncers in the crowds have emerged as pseudo cops to contain the incipient unrest his candidacy will only continue to provoke. Supporters have attacked hecklers with sometimes stunning ferocity. Every time Trump legitimizes potential violence by his supporters by saying it comes from a love of country, he sows the seeds for serious civil unrest. Why are you acting that way? We're trying to save the nation. Were Trump to win the White House, I'm towards the end of the article, the defenses against him would be weak. Okay, so now we're into what would a Trump presidency look like? Is he going to sign things that Hillary Clinton wouldn't sign? Absolutely. Okay? All right, so we're good there. All right? So we get it, so stay with me. The defenses against him would be weak. He would likely bring a GOP majority in the House, and Republicans in the Senate would be subjected to almighty popular fury if they stood in his way. The 4-4 stalemate in the Supreme Court would break in Trump's favor. And if Trump's policies are checked by other branches of government, how might he react? Just look at his response to the rules of the GOP nomination process. He's not interested in rules, and he barely understands the Constitution. In one revealing moment earlier this year, when asked what he would do if the military refused to obey an illegal order to torture a prisoner, Trump simply insisted that the man would obey. They won't refuse. They're not going to refuse. Believe me. That's a direct quote. Remember when he said that? He later amended his remarks, but it speaks volumes about his approach to power. So this is Donald Trump. I think it's pretty obvious. And this is who he is. And the fact that a growing portion of the nation is getting behind him, including Bernie Sanders people who are going to be so ticked off after the Democrat convention that they're probably going to support Donald Trump just as a way to spite Hillary Clinton. Which brings us to the end of this article where I started the show. For Trump is not just a wacky politician of the far right or a riveting television spectacle or a Twitter phenom and bizarre working class hero. He is not just another candidate to be parsed and analyzed by TV pundits in the same breath as all the others. In terms of our liberal democracy and constitutional order, Trump is an extinction-level event. It's long past time we started treating him as such. So, granted, it's in the New York Magazine, dated May 1st, 2016. Granted, Andrew Sullivan, the writer of the article, is a liberal. I give you all of that. I agree. So I take it all with many, 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 many grains of salt. But in the confines of this article are some real truths here. As we look at the state of the nation, as we look at a nation that's desperate for anything but the status quo, and at that point, a powerful, strong, charismatic leader steps onto the stage and can assume power and then abuse it. There was another interesting article I mentioned earlier out of Latin America. It was titled Pinochet, Chavez, and Trump. After decades of suffering under populist autocrats, Latin Americans have a message for the gringos. Welcome to our world. It's a fascinating story. I'll share that one on Facebook as well, as it looks at people from Latin America and Central America are really paying attention to our election process because Donald Trump looks, sounds, and acts a lot like some of the folks that have come to power in Latin America and Central America. These big-time, bombastic, somewhat abusive people that are just kind of shifting the popular power base and populist message to their own ends. Let me add this just for fun. I grabbed this one earlier today from Barna, a new Barna study. Now, granted, Barna makes money by giving you bad news. Okay, bad news makes money. So that's what they do. But the end, the article here, this new finding they have, the end of absolutes, America's new moral code. So it talks about all these people, 8 and 10 overall, 80% people that are expressing concern about the nation's moral condition. Even millennials, 74% report a concern, okay? So most people are concerned about the moral integrity and direction of the nation, all right? So where do you go with that? Much less widespread, however, is consensus on morality itself. Now, I got to put this one up on Facebook, too, and we're about to hit the break, and then I'll get David Fisher on here. Recently, a guy out in Washington who I've had on the show before, a family institute out there, went to the University of Washington on campus and asked boys and girls, college students today, our future leaders, what they thought about the difference between men and women. What do you think about gender, men and women? Are there differences? Are they the same? What do you do with that? And they're so afraid of sounding mean or condescending or some kind of having the moral high ground that these 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are struggling to answer a question about gender. Well, you know, you can't assume that a girl has to be a girl. I mean, if they feel like a boy, and just because you're born with the biology one direction doesn't mean you can't go the other. They're struggling to agree on gender. You know, I'm 50. Any, outie. Girl, boy. Pretty simple. Drop your pants. I'll tell you what bathroom you should use. Not anymore. The future leaders of America can't even answer a question about gender. When we come back, the government takeover potentially of your 401k. We'll be right back. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Rush. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Thank you, Lord, for this hard-rocking, lost group of people that kick out some really cool rock and roll, because it just completely changed my spirit here. I was so down and just depressed and mad about the state of the nation and what's going on. And then I'm like, okay, there's some good music. And hey, Steve, that's not exactly praise and worship music. I know that. But you know why Rush is so good and inventive and awesome? Because they're image bearers in that regard. Where do you think they got that talent? When it works, where do you think that comes from? Whether it's art or movies or music, secular and otherwise, where do you think that comes from? When they're beautiful melodies, complicated riffs, great guitar playing, drumming, whatever. Where does that come from ultimately? That comes from the creator. And that's what I'm saying. When you read through the article, when you watch a movie, you try to look through that with your biblical lens and you try to pull out the things that you can then hand to God and say, you know what? That's pretty cool, Lord. They're all screwed up. They're totally missing the point. But there's something in there that I can glorify God by recognizing the talent that ultimately came from him. So there you go. I don't even know why I just explained that to you, but I get to do what I want for the most part, so I just took advantage of that. Okay. One other thing, LeBlue Water, our good friends at LeBlue. I was actually just met with Brock Agee earlier today. He was in here with his awesome wife, and we were talking about a bunch of other things, and I was sharing with them how the Noble family now is drinking more water, which is great. And then my daughter the other day, when we were out getting a used car, the Noble family believes in used cars. So we don't want to get totally ripped off on a new car. So we're getting a used car for my awesome wife, and Caroline, my 11-year-old, goes over to the thing by the popcorn and gets a bottle of Deer Park. And then she's drinking the bottle and she goes, "Dad, this, I don't like this water at all. The blue is way better." I'm like, "Okay, well, there you go." So that opportunity is there, and it's real, and it's ultra clean. It's done the way God does it, by heat and ozone, just like it does when it falls out of the sky. Well, the way it used to. But it's really an incredible product. I love LeBlue Water. We have it at our house. You can have it at your house. 30-day free trial, 5-gallon, the big jug thing, right? And you'll find your family drinks more water like ours is. And it's really great, very pure. I love this stuff. But they're also supporting the radio show and Christian radio in general. And so that's another reason to support them. But if you want the free 30-day trial, 919-239-8000 is the number. 919-239-8000. So let's go from the frying pan into the fire. Hey, David Fisher, Landmark Capital. Great to have you back on Call to Action. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, my brothers. Thanks for having me on your program. I think we might want to have some background music to cheer us all up with the news I'm having to say today, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bummer. I was just talking the other three segments, David. I read this article earlier about kind of a democracy like ours becoming too democratic, which means you start to get into mob rule and emotion rules. And then Trump enters the scene, and then you got this kind of lead up to tyranny. I'm like, oh, this is great. And then, hey, let's talk to David Fisher about the government wanting to get more involved with the 401k. That's not cheering me up, bro, but it is the reality. It is truth. And I'm glad you called me the other day to mention this. So how did this get started? You read an article in Bloomberg the other day about really the godfather of 401k. So take us into that so we can explain what we need to be paying attention to here.
Yeah, mainstream media news, the largest financial news station, Bloomberg, came out with information from the father, really, who created 401ks. His name is Ted Bennett. And he is not happy how his child has grown up into adulthood. And actually, he makes reference in several articles, because the news recorded him in different ways, that it's turned into a monster. He said it's become so complicated, so expensive, so rife with opportunities for mistakes. And so he just wants to revamp the whole thing. And there's some points of that Ted says that are, I fully agree. You know, there was a national survey that was done that said 401k fees are somewhere between 20% to 30%. Annually, which is outrageous.
Outrageous.
So I agree with that. But the solution is never, in my spirit, to let the government take things over and manage somebody's money. Name me an entity in the government that has done well in managing a person's money.
Let me pray about that.
So you got it's the same answer no matter who I ask. It's there isn't such a thing. But his solution cringes my spirit, because it confirms everything I've been saying on national radio for years, the last 3 years, what I've been writing about. Unfortunately, this is probably the biggest piece of the puzzle, where the father of this says, here's what we need to do. He's proposing this, that the federal government should offer a fund that is 50% stocks, S&P, 50% bonds, and call this the federal fund. The 50% bonds is the bail-in, because it's buying U.S. treasuries. It's supporting the dollar, which is what I've been talking about, which is, this has been going on. The first start of it was when Hillary became the puppet master to put a lady named Teresa Garland Ducey before Congress in 2005, saying we need the government to develop a fund called a government retirement annuity, where people will buy into the U.S. dollar through treasuries. I mean, this is just confirming history and what the setup is, which there's so many working pieces of this puzzle that I put together in this report. It solidifies and confirms, unfortunately, I wish it didn't, the movement that has happened in 15 countries, where the truth, what I call the line of truth, has been blurred, where it used to be our money, and now it's no longer our money legally. It's the government's want to get out of debt by taking their citizens' money. And this is what's happening in our country, unfortunately.
Because as we've talked about the bail-in, I remember the first time you told me about it and you sent me a white paper on it. And I'm like, come on, really? The government just comes in under the guise of darkness overnight and they come in and they take money out of your checking account. How can they do that? How do they have access to that? How can they get away with it? Then, of course, in Cyprus, I remember shortly after you first told me about it, then Cyprus, which wasn't that long ago, there's the article, there's the news. The next day, 10 grand in U.S. dollars taken out of everybody's account that had at least $100,000 in it. Literally overnight, the government comes in, just takes it. And again, what I was talking about earlier, David, about tyranny and the threat there that somebody like Donald Trump can pose and a bail-in. Listen, I say this all the time. I refuse to have a pre-9/11 mindset in a post-9/11 world. And this sounds like lunacy, like it can't actually happen. But again, the reason you brought this to my attention, this is the father of the 401k who's seen his child grow up poorly. And next thing you know, what's the answer? Well, it's the same, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's the federal government. So what would that look like to us, David, as just regular investors trying to save money for our retirement? What's the threat to me and to you and to the people listening?
Well, continuing with that thought, in this article it says, in one full swoop, the federal fund would plug all the holes of 401k plans. In other words, this is the solution. The threat to us is really simple. If you have an IRA, if you have a 401k, if you have money in the bank, it is legally no longer yours. And so what we advocate is get properly protected. There's too many working pieces that are proving that this is happening, or at least possibly could happen in our country, and I hate to say it that way, but that's what the facts are showing. And so we advocate, get some money off the table. Get some money out of the electronic system. Get some money in cash. Get some money in precious metals. Roll over a portion of your retirement, your 401k, your IRA. Take physical possession. We've worked with a lawyer who has figured the legal ramifications of doing this and has been approved by the IRS, where you can roll over your 401k and IRA and physically take possession without a tax liability. And you heard me right, everybody who's hearing my voice, yes, no tax liability, holding your retirement in your hands physically, physical metals, not paper. And this is done very cost effectively. My competitors charge between $995 to $1995, and I've used an attorney that charges $385 for the legal structure of this. So it's very competitive. If they pull the trigger and they do this thing called the bail-in, you're safe. The portion of the money you pulled off
right.
the table,
because
you're safe.
They can't get to it.
Exactly.
Right, because it's like in your safe, literally.
In your hands, in your safe, you're taking control of your money. And this is what you call being a good steward of the money. Put a portion to seven, portion to eight, because you don't know what tragedy may befall you.
Right. That's exactly right, which comes right out of the source of all truth. So let me ask you this, David. I was just thinking this as you were explaining it, and thank you so much for bringing this to our attention and helping to make us more aware so that we can be good stewards of our money, which is obviously a big deal to the Lord because Jesus talked about it a lot. It's all throughout the pages of Scripture. But 10 or 12 or 15 years ago, David, if I had called you up and introduced myself and said, hey, let me tell you about these things, this bail-in stuff and the government getting involved with the 401k, would you have thought I was a lunatic 15 years ago?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is crazy. That's what I'm telling you. The line of truth has been blurred in every aspect of our society. I mean, I've been on your program last week. We're talking about how they're trying to redefine what the term sex means now. Our government has no business in that. The line of truth is being blurred, and unfortunately, it's going into our financial system. It's crazy where our country has come. And where we're headed forward in the future, we have two people who will look like our front runners, Hillary and Trump. Both want to do something financially that could possibly be very devastating. Trump was talking about defaulting on our debt. I mean, that's one of the things I talked about in the article and how that would destroy our country and being the world reserve currency. Hillary's going the other direction. She's leaning towards the bail-in. So, I mean, whoever gets in office, their ideologies go hand in hand with extremists of, like, countries that are destitute, and this is where, unfortunately, our country's going.
Yep, very, very scary. How can people get in touch with you guys, David, and get some information? You guys are wonderful about educating. You leave the decision to the person that's calling in, to our listeners. How can people get in touch with you?
They can reach us toll-free, 844-879-8882, or go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
David Fisher, always a blessing. Thank you for your time. Thanks for helping us stay informed and so that we can be wise stewards of our money. I appreciate you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you too, Steve, and your listeners.
Thanks. We'll talk again soon. Okay, friends. I promise. Thursday and Friday, I will lighten it up. I will try to encourage you. But be encouraged anyway. God still rules the universe with his feet up. Don't forget that. Sometimes it's hard to see through the darkness, but the light is still there. Remember that. Pray for all of our authorities. Pray for the president. Yeah, I said it. Pray for the president. And pray with your spouse while you're at it. I love you. God willing. I'll talk to you again real soon.